This is the last week of the water park series, making a splash in God's kingdom. Next week, we're starting a series called Survivors, and the logo is like that show Survivor. It's going to be kind of fun, and John Lee is going to launch it. He's going to be doing the preaching next week. I'm going on vacation. We're going camping, which is really leisurely, and I told Sarah the other day that I've got an itinerary all set. I'm going to type it out, and I'm going to paperclip it to the tree outside of our tent. She said, oh, Mom. So, no, we have things to do, places to go, shopping to do. But the story, this water park series has been story of Exodus, journey of the Israelites from the slavery in Egypt to the promised land. And for 40 years, at this point, for 40 years, the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. They weren't lost. A lot of people think they were lost in the wilderness, but they weren't. There's actually a portion of the Bible that talks about Moses' father-in-law coming to visit him. Someone who's lost can't be found, and Moses' father-in-law knew exactly where to find him. What they were doing, they were wandering here to there, guided by God's very Shanika, remember we talked about that last week? His very presence carried around in the ark, a column of flame by night, a column of cloud by day, wandering, 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 manna three times a day, or twice a day, and then quail. God provided everything the Israelites needed, not a lot of what they wanted. Wandering, 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 led by Moses, journeying all the way to the promised land, just taking a long way around, not quite settling on where they would be. But for 40 years, they followed Moses. And that's got to tell you what kind of leader Moses was, that he was able to keep 2 million people together for 40 years. No one Googled orbits and made flight arrangements back to Egypt. He kept them together the entire time. And so after 40 years, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, it says this: Then Moses hiked up from the Moabite plains to Mount Nebo, the peak of the Pisgah slope which faces Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, the Gilead region as far as Dan's territory, all the parts belonging to the Naphtali, along with the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, as well as the entirety of Judah, as far as the Mediterranean Sea, and also the arid southern plain, and the plain including the Jericho Valley, Palm City, as far as Zoar. So Moses goes to the top of this mountain. The Lord says, look at this huge expanse of land I'm going to give to my people. And the Lord says to Moses, that's right, Dad, this is the land I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I promised, I will give it to your descendants. I have shown it to you with your own eyes. However, you will not cross over into it. That's a whole nother sermon. Moses didn't ever get to go to the promised land. But God showed him what he had brought God's people to. And then in Deuteronomy it says this: Then the Lord's servant Moses died right there in the land of Moab, according to the Lord's command. The Lord buried him in a valley in the Moabite country across from Beth Peor. Even now, no one knows where Moses is buried. And then it says this: Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyesight wasn't impaired, and his vigor hadn't diminished a bit. He was still vital. He was still strong. One minute, the Israelites see him climbing the mountain to go hang out with God, and the next thing you know, he's dead. And the people had to be devastated. Moses was dead. He was the only leader they had ever had, and so they mourned. The Bible says back in the Moabite plains, the Israelites mourned Moses' death for 30 days. Now, this was not only according to custom, and this mourning was not just for Moses. This mourning was also for themselves. Now what? Moses had brought them out of slavery. Moses had given them God's law. He had built the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. He had led them to believe in, rely on, seek God himself. Now he was dead. And they're still in the wilderness, still without country, now without a leader, after 40 years. Then in Joshua 1, my favorite verse in the Bible, Moses is dead. The Lord says to Joshua, go and tell my people, Moses is dead, and now get ready to cross over the Jordan with this entire people to the land that I'm about to give to the Israelites. God tells Joshua to assemble these 2 million Israelites for this big announcement, Moses is dead. Why? They already knew it. They had been mourning for 30 days, for an entire month. All they'd been talking about was how much they missed Moses, how much they were mourning Moses. They all knew he was dead. Yeah, Joshua, Moses is dead. Tell us something we don't know. And here's why I love this verse. God isn't telling the folks that Moses is dead. They already know it. But by telling the people, my servant Moses is dead, God is letting them know the past is now the past. There is no going back. Get ready. I'm about to show you something big in your life. I'm about to get you into the promised land, this land of prosperity, the land of milk and honey. I'm taking you into the future. Hold on to your hats. Moses is dead, and wait until you see what's coming next. In hindsight, the 2 million Israelites, when they heard Moses is dead, all 2 million of them should have raised their voices with, whoa, Moses is dead. As most of you know, on May 29th, Trinity United Methodist Church, who we were a part of, voted to transfer the oversight of this church, Servants Heart Community Church, to the conference. We were out of the restart funds that First United Methodist Church had left us to restart this place. Trinity wasn't able to absorb us, to absorb our budget into theirs. But we had managed somehow, we know how, we had managed over the previous year to grow this place and impact the community just enough that shutting us down was no longer an option. Now, this is an aside, this is not a squirrel, this is something you should know, and I've been remiss in not telling you. We have a steering committee now that oversees us. We're not big enough to be a chartered church, so we can't have the trustees and finance committee and all those other committees that tend to run a church, staff parish relations, all that. And we have a steering committee now. It's me, Betsy, Ari, Delphine, wave your hand, please. Thank you. She's our representative from Servant's Heart, then my boss, the district superintendent, Larry Whitehead. Then we have a guy from the conference who's with the state of Indiana. His name's Ed Fenstermacher. And then I'm required to have a coach. His name is Bill Armstrong. He's out of Fort Wayne. And they're overseeing us. We're meeting monthly. That's a big wink. We're trying to meet monthly. We're going to have to meet monthly. To make sure everything's going how it should be and have oversight and all that. But I'm telling you this, that if there's something that you have a concern about or an issue with or think we should be doing, or you just want someone to know that I'm absolutely the best speaker that you ever heard in your entire life, let Betsy know, and she'll make sure the right people know. Shameless plug. Thank you very much. Anyway, steering committee. The first meeting we had, I set the agenda, and this was the agenda items that day. Moses is dead, get out of the wilderness, claim the promised land. It was no surprise that a change was coming our way. We knew we were running out of money. We had just spent a year and a half in the wilderness, a part of Trinity, but not really a part of Trinity. We answered to Trinity, yet we did our ministry on our own. And for some of us, it was a very frustrating time because we weren't really who the people God was calling us to be. God had been very faithful to us, but the money was running out, and we weren't really sure how long our season was going to be. But then the conference agreed to take us, and Moses was dead. We were crossing the Jordan. We were heading into the promised land, out of the wilderness of being sort of a part of Trinity, into the promised land of making our own way on our own land, the promised land. And it's not been, and it's not going to be easy, and it's scary. The Israelites stood on the banks of the Jordan looking at what out looking out of the wilderness, and then they had to look at what 2 million people were going to have to do. They were going to have to cross a very flooded Jordan River. It was the rainy season. And the place that they were going to was inhabited by the very giants Joshua and his team of spies had seen months before. There was going to be a battle. God told them that. Folks were going to be lost. Becoming who they were going to be was going to be painful and hard and so rewarding. Becoming who we are going to be is going to be painful and hard and so rewarding. And getting there is going to be so much better, so much more exciting, so much more full of joy than where we've been. It would have been nice to continue to be a satellite campus of Trinity. It would have been nice to have them support us. It would have been nice to have them share their resources with us, have access to what they have. And it would have been so very comfortable and so very safe. It would have been nice to have just stayed settled in the wilderness of Trinity. But had that happened, we would never have been stretched, challenged, forced to rely on God, grown like we have, and we'd never been able to be absolutely gobsmacked at what God can do for and through us. We would have never made it to the promised land. Praise God, Moses is dead. Now, there's a tendency for all of us to live wilderness lives, stay in a place because it's comfortable. There are people, women and men alike, who stay in horrible, abusive relationships because it's what they know, and being together with a bad person is a lot safer than being alone. Folks give up the dream to go to college to become what they believe they're being called to do because the paycheck they're getting every Friday seems like a sure thing. We spend so much time lamenting about the changes in our society. I want you to think back about when you were in fifth grade and compare it to today. I told Sarah once, my first 10 years in accounting were on card systems. We wrote every single entry. I remember the first computer. I remember thinking I was in Star Trek the first time I put a piece of paper in that machine and dialed a number and it went ee! And I realized the people on the other side had received the same document. Fax machines? Were they miracles? And for the first year I had a fax machine, I'd send the fax, then call the people. Did you get my fax? It is a much, much different world. And we spend so much time lamenting about the changes in our society, the changes in our world, the changes in our people and our culture. For heaven's sakes, guys, pull your pants up. That we miss the opportunity to venture out and get to know them and to do kingdom work. Moses is dead. It is time to get out of our wilderness lives and cross the Jordan. It's scary. It can be dangerous. It's uncertain. But it's so rewarding. And when change comes, and change will come, embrace it. And embrace it intentionally and fervently, expectantly, looking for God's will and plan in the change. Do you feel like you're in a rut, that there's more to life? There is. There is. Look around, pray, find your calling, then do it. Jesus came so our joy would be complete. That's not living in a rut. Get out of your wilderness. Moses is dead. It's time to claim the promised land. Are you in a dead-end job? Type a resume. Start there. Frustrating career? Take some classes. Mundane marriage? Spice it up. I remember a story years ago. A lady went to a counselor. She said, I don't know. Where marriage is in a rut. I'm not sure what we're going to do. It's become such habit. Every time he walks through the door at night, the first thing we do is argue. And the counselor gave her some advice. And the next time her husband came home, she greeted him at the door with a smile on her face, and that's all she was wearing. And he burst into laughter and a broke cycle of them arguing all the time. I wonder what he came to expect when the door opened at night. You got disobedient kids? Fight harder for them. Hal, in the scripture we read today, tells you, be very brave and strong as you carefully obey all the instructions that Moses, my servant, commanded you. We have an instruction book. It's called the Bible. Don't deviate even a bit from it, either to the right or the left. Then you will have success wherever you go. Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed. I've commanded you to be brave and strong, haven't I? Don't be alarmed or terrified because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God promised the promised land. You want to claim God's promises, you got to know what God's promises are. You got to get into the Word and then claim them, say them. Don't hang out in the wilderness. Use the Bible as your roadmap out. And don't let the wilderness times define who you are. Someone hurts you deeply, happens. A parent, a child, a spouse dies. You lose everything in a disaster or some kind of financial ruin. Take the necessary season of mourning your loss. And it is so important to take that season of mourning. God allowed the Israelites to mourn Moses for 30 days. You may or may not need a lot more time than that to grieve and mourn those wilderness times in your life. But there's going to come a time, and you all probably know someone who you've watched do it, when the time of mourning starts to transition into a lifestyle, a way of being, a wilderness, a place where everything you are and everything you do is defined by and driven by your loss. But Moses is dead. Get packed and get ready to move on. Feel your pain. Feel your sorrow. But when you feel yourself, start wallowing in it. Start heading for the Jordan just as fast as you can. Or you've hurt somebody. Your addictions have destroyed relationships. Your sin has caused great pain to another person. Apologize. Make amends. Ask for forgiveness. Say you're sorry. Mean it. But then move on to the promised land and don't use your past to define what your future relationships are going to look like. Your past does not define you. Moses is dead. God is really, rarely concerned about your past, but he is very eager to show you what he has in store for you for the future. I know a woman who ran away from home when she was 15 years old, a hippie vagabond, and all that means. Smoked pot, lived a sinful life. She gave up a full honor scholarship to college in order to marry a man who went to jail 2 years later and whom she divorced. She's hurt by a lot of people. She hurt a lot of people. She's battered and beaten for years by her husband. She's unable to have children. She tried for 10 years to have a child, and every single month she mourned the lack of conception. And she stayed in a dead-end job with a boss who overused her for 20 years because it was familiar and the check was steady, until it ran out and her boss washed his hands of her. Now, that woman had two ways to go. She could stay in her wilderness, stay where it was comfortable and familiar. Why try? Nothing ever works out. Stay bitter and skeptical and untrusting. Use people to get what she wanted. Why love? It's just going to hurt me anyway. Why not just get lost in the substance abuse? It will block the pain. Just stay wandering in the wilderness. It's easier there. Or the other option was she could take time to mourn and then cross over to the Jordan and get to the promised land. Moses is dead. The past behind, her eye on God's plan for her future. She could face the Jordan, trust God, and take the plunge that would lead her to the promised land, the place where she could become everything God intended her to be. Trust again. Pray for a life partner who's good and kind and supportive. Rejoice in the adoption of a beautiful daughter who grew up compassionate and empathetic and in love with the Lord. Go to school and get the credentials necessary for the job that would give her purpose and fulfillment, doing what God has called her to do. That woman had two choices: wander in the misery of the wilderness or move on to the promised land and stand before you today. And I tell you, Moses is dead. You are not your past. You are what God created you to be today. And tomorrow, you are not what you were yesterday. Jesus met a woman at the well, and he called out her sin. And then he said to her, "Okay, now, your sins are forgiven, but every day for the rest of your life, I want you to remember the debauchery that you used to live in." Wrong. Jesus said, "You're forgiven, and now go and sin no more." He sent her out of the wilderness into the promised land. You will never be able to undo what has happened in your life. But Moses is dead. Becoming who you are going to be is going to be painful and hard and oh so rewarding. And getting there is going to be so much better, so much more exciting, and so much more full of joy than wandering in the wilderness. Trust God, cross the Jordan, claim the promises God has made for you, for your life, so that you can live the life of joy and fullness he created you to have. Moses is dead. Praise God. Now go claim the promised land. As the band comes up, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the stories of the ancients that we can apply to our lives today. And I ask today that every single person in this room feels your Holy Spirit prompting them to get out of the wilderness places in their life and to go out and claim the joy and the life and the love and the promises that you have for them. We have no idea what you can do for us. But Lord, let us be open to give it a try. Amen.